Welcome back, episode 37 of Grapes and Gorax.
Gorax, huh? Gorax. Plural. There's only one Gorax.
Well, you know. My bad. Episode 37, we got any good 37s out there?
That's a garbage number, I feel like. Yeah. Was Jimmy Hitchcock 37?
Jimmy Hitchcock was 37. Okay. That's a good call there.
That's the only one I can think of.
I don't really.
Current 37?
I don't know. I feel like that's usually for like the sixth, seventh round rookie who doesn't make the team.
What position would be 37? It would be a secondary.
Yeah, or secondary running back. Or running back or fullback.
Yeah, and I feel like corners and stuff like to do the 20s more. At least ours do.
Or the low 30s.
Yeah.
The 20s and low 30s. I feel like all of our D-backs are in their 20s, though.
Besides Anthony Harris is 41.
Yeah, which is a sweet number.
Who's a number 30 secondary player for us?
Sendejo was 34. Otherwise, Smith, 22. Kearse, 27.
Harris, maybe some 41. Backup we're not thinking of.
Holton Hill.
And our running backs... I mean, 33 is Cook, and then other than that, I don't...
Boone is 44. Madison's 25.
Is that what Madison's going to be?
Yep.
Matt Dog?
Yep, Matt Dog Madison, because he'll run over you like a floor mat. Ooh.
Don't floor mats get ran over?
Well, yeah, but how else are we going to do this?
Yeah, okay, just, all right.
Because he'll stomp all over you like you're a floor mat.
Okay, there we go. There we go. Okay, I like that. All right, Matt Dog Madison.
Matt Dog Madison. All right. This episode of Grapes and Gorak, though, will be... brought to you by Weedman Lawn Control. They special in fertilization, broadleaf weed control, crabgrass control, which is actually, seeing as it's May, this is the best time to get rid of that crabgrass before it starts spreading all over with the rain and before all the wind picks up. They specialize in aeration, insect control, and grub control, which is also... really good time of the year before the mosquitoes pop out. They're all hatching right now.
Oh, mosquitoes.
Oh, can't stand it. Well, you know, everyone's got to prepare for it. But if you use Weedman Lawn Control, you can take care of those pesky mosquitoes.
And then how do you get a hold of these people?
You get a hold of these guys by calling their Grapes and Gorak line, 651-796-2346. Tell them Grapes and Gorak sent you.
That's a special line for just the Grapes and Gorak listeners. You know, that's quality stuff right there.
And if you want to do a little more background, you can visit them online at weedmanusa.com.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right.
Good deal. So, yeah, now
we talked about
the draft. We did the draft recap.
We recapped all that. I think we're just going to kind of do a whole off-season talk. But we'll start with the kind of the recent news.
We were able to sign Garrett Bradbury.
Yeah, we got our rookie class signed. How did he do it? It's like magic.
We had 12 players. How'd you get all of them under the cap?
I'm assuming we made some major trade or a big cut.
Rudolph's got to be gone. Rudolph or Wayne's had to have been traded, right?
Or Rose. Someone's got to be shipped out here because there's no other way to do it.
No. It's not like you can, you know, restructure Eric Kendricks.
So we restructured Eric Kendricks.
So, yep. So that was the big move that we made. You know, we didn't lose anybody, and Garrett Bradbury signed. He made it to rookie camp.
Yeah, I think we had talked about it quite a bit, that you could easily do with quite a few of our veterans, just turn some of their base salary into a signing bonus.
Yep. And that's exactly
what they did. So Kendricks did not take a pay cut.
Nope.
He didn't sacrifice anything. Nope, I've seen a lot of people. I saw one Pioneer Press reporter like, great team guy to do this. It's like, he didn't do anything. Literally... in their contract, you can just automatically do it without even asking them.
Yep, and they have to agree to it in a timely fashion so you can make your move.
There's no reason a player wouldn't agree to it because all he's doing is getting his money sooner.
And taking non-guaranteed money into guaranteed money. So if he were to get hurt, he wouldn't get
game
checks.
That's true, too. I didn't even think of that.
He wouldn't get those game checks.
Yep, or suspended.
And now he's getting it. So,
and if you ask why do more teams not do it, well, first off, a lot of teams do it. It's just, I think, less lately because... not a lot of teams are up against the cap.
Yep.
But you are pushing guaranteed money into future years that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
So there's a small downside. I think Kendrick is only like $500,000 in each of the first. So like, it's like nothing. So easy move.
Yeah. We got it. And then somebody was dogging. They brought up Kirk Cousins and why didn't Cousins do it? It's like, well, you know, he didn't have to. And either way, it's all guaranteed money anyway. So why wouldn't they go to somebody who's non-guaranteed, turn it into guaranteed?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe in a week, Cousins will be restructured or, I don't know, Daniel Hunter or someone. It just happened to be Kendricks. I don't know why they chose it. I'm sure there's some reason, but...
probably because they didn't need Kendricks' permission because it was in his contract.
Yeah, it sounds like that. There's a contract guy on Twitter, that Joel Curry.
Yeah.
And he was saying that pretty much Vikings have that in almost all their contracts. Like,
right on.
And again... as an agent for a player, you're going to agree to that because there's zero downside as a player to just go, oh, you want to, instead of getting a game check every week, just give me a signing bonus right now.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. You want to give me money?
And okay. Now the next 2 years, Kendricks has $500,000 more guaranteed that he didn't have.
Yep. So, and if he gets, and if you were to get cut for whatever reason, he gets were to happen, money. He's already got that money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was at the, they did the Skull Night at the Twins game, and yep. He was there, and like some reporter was like, well, why'd you do that? He's, you know, he's kind of just like, I'm a team guy, you know. It's like, okay, well, you know.
He's just doing it, you know, helping.
What's he supposed to say? Yeah. Like, it didn't do anything. I actually was saying to, I forgot who it was, but I was like, what? Cousin should have done it just for the PR boost.
True.
Just so they could have wrote the headline like, Kirk Cousins restructures, Vikings sign entire draft class. Yeah. You know, it's like, even though nothing really changed for Cousins' pocketbook, but like,
but at least the PR move?
Yeah, the PR move, you know? Yeah, just like he kind of screwed himself by like demanding that fully guaranteed contract, because now everyone's just, you know, we can't sign all of our guys because freaking Cousins is paid so much.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
like, it's like, well, Cousins doesn't miss games anyway. So either way, if it wasn't fully guaranteed, he'd still get $84 million throughout the life.
Yeah, and like
of
we've
deal.
Talked about, you just chopped off the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You took away the two unguaranteed years. So he didn't do anything. He's not even, $27 million isn't even that high anymore. I mean,
it's a lot
in the
of money.
Upper half, but like, there's a lot of guys making more than him. Yep. So, I mean, at least a handful. So, it's calm down.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's
I'm not worried
fine.
About it. Yeah. It's $28 million for a quarterback who's actually good and starts every game. Yeah. I'm not upset about it.
Yeah, the health thing is super underrated, I feel like, for like him to just never get banged up. And was he even on the injury report last year?
I don't think so. And he was getting obliterated all year.
Yeah.
So, like,
like Rodgers has hurt every other week. Yeah. He's like always banged up.
Yep.
And who have we not been able to sign yet? Richardson.
Yeah.
Who was not even on our team until last year. So, like, of our core group, we've re-signed everyone.
Yep. And, like, I don't know what I saw on Twitter. Andre Patterson said, like, a name to watch is Jalen Holmes now for that 3-tech mm-hmm. spot. So, like, we feel like we have it on the roster already. So,
yeah. If they think that some young guys can step up and do that without having to spend. Well, Richardson got more than I expected, too. Like, we talked about, like, why would he get more? Because he didn't really do anything more last year.
Yeah.
And he got like $12 million a year. So
yeah.
Like, we
which
get a third
was
round pick for him.
Yeah, I'll take the third round pick.
Comp. Oh, that, speaking of comps, Latavius Murray screwed his head on one somehow. I don't know about that.
Because we chopped off the final.
Yeah, we avoided it. Yeah. But like all the talk was like, oh no, you still get that. And then all of a sudden, like.
That guy from Over the Cap.
Nick
is like,
Nordy is like the expert, it seems like, on all this
and
stuff.
And he was saying that usually players who get that last year voided don't count as a comp pick. Yeah.
So now we're down to a third, a sixth, and a seventh. Because we're also, our other one, our like fourth one, is just short. Because they only give up 32 comp picks. And he's like, his contract is like the 38th best.
Yeah.
So he's like just short of making it. So, but, you know, who knows. Last year we thought we had a pick for Bradford coming and they just caught his ass and we didn't get a third for him.
Yeah, which sucked.
But Bradford. What's that guy doing?
Probably sitting on the couch trying
to. You think
not
he's still
himself.
Trying to like come back?
I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. I doubt he
Poor
ever
bastard.
Gets a chance.
Yeah, that's crazy to go from like, I know he got like a lot of money last year, so.
Yeah, didn't he get a $20 million
Enough
contract?
Where we should have got a third round comp pick.
Yes.
That's all I know.
Yep. Well, yeah, it was like $20 million and then like 15 of it was guaranteed or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Crazy. I think I said that we got our whole draft class signed. I don't think we do. Long snapper?
I thought we had our entire draft class signed.
How did we sign him? Did we get him figured out? With his Navy. I saw Trump was talking about changing that. Did you see that?
No.
Literally, they were talking about that. Apparently, it's a governmental thing, like that they could let the people in the military get out of those so they could go play professional sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, hey, this actually affects us somehow.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow. Huh.
So maybe that'll, you know.
All right. Well,
but I didn't know if we signed him or not, so maybe we did. I guess it doesn't matter, though. Who cares?
He's I mean, he's not going to count against the cap. So either way, it really doesn't matter if we sign him or not.
Now, speaking of cap, we're like, still right up against it.
Yes.
So
we're like $8.
Even, we have $8. So I still feel like there could be something with Rudolph. And it seems like there will be something with Rudolph. Whether
there's
it's
a lot of Rudolph talk right now.
He's cut. He's traded.
I don't see him getting cut. I feel like we get like a low ball offer and we
like
take it.
Like a seventh or a pick swap or like, which,
Which would
What
really
would be your thoughts
me?
On that? Like,
if it's like a seventh or a pick swap, what are we doing with that money? You know, are we...
It's too late now. Like, early on in the offseason, it was like, I would totally cut Rudolph, and I'd be fine with it. Because I think, like, going into this season, even if it's just Irv Smith, Morgan, and Conklin, it's still better than last year. Because I don't think Rudolph's very good. But now that we waited till there's no players left, I don't want to just lose a good player.
Yeah, that's
for the thing, nothing, like, for cap space that we're not going to use.
Like, are we going to take that money in August when, like, a receiver gets cut? Are we going to take that and spend it on him?
It's so much money though, $7 million. So yeah, you have $7 million of cap space. You're not going to spend $7 million.
Yeah, I feel like you're only going to spend $2 or $3 million.
Like last year,
throughout the whole year.
Yeah, like Dan Bailey was a good example last year. Like we had, if something like that happens where you need to sign a guy that's $3-4 million, but who would that be? Who could that possibly be?
I feel like it would have to be like, just say Gerald McCoy gets cut because he doesn't fit in Tampa.
Yeah,
like,
but you're
going to take that seven million. And
I don't
throw
even
it at
know
him.
If that would be enough.
It probably
like,
wouldn't be.
Ndamukong Suh is still available. If you could somehow cut Rudolph and restructure like three dudes and sign Sue, I'm all for it. But yeah, if you just cut Rudolph and don't do anything else, it's just like, well, we need a little breathing room. That would be, I think that would annoy me. Unless the pick was like a fifth.
Yeah, I think a fifth would be like,
fine.
Exactly.
Fourth, I'd be like, sweet.
Anything lower than a fifth, it's like, what are we
doing
with this?
How does that help this season?
Yeah.
It doesn't.
It doesn't unless you add a player, which,
yeah.
I mean, unless you're trading Rudolph for a three tech or Rudolph for a receiver, which I would almost prefer the player
for
slot.
Sure. I definitely, like, if you could do Rudolph for, like, people have talked about that Tywan Taylor in the Titans.
Oh, yeah. Because
they signed Adam Humphries. They drafted AJ Brown. So it's
got,
like, do they not like him very much? Like, and maybe they love him and they'll never trade him. But like someone like that, just some young, fast receiver.
Yep.
Because we didn't really add a receiver. But like just
because then that would save you a bunch of money and you get a player. And then
that can help you this season.
Yep. And you can then use that money to potentially go sign another player as well. That way you'd be able to, like, if it's a young player on a rookie contract, a potential 2-for-1 at that point, that's kind of ideal.
Yeah. But just like the thought of just dumping him for like a seventh or cutting him outright.
I'm far and away against cutting him outright.
Yeah, and to play devil's advocate, I could totally see David Morgan and Irv Smith Jr. like being better than Rudolph. Because Rudolph, like we've talked about all offseason, he's not that good.
No, and somebody, I was listening to someone, and they're like, oh, he had, you know, 63 catches for 630 yards. It's like, 10 yards a catch, like...
Well, it's what he is now. Like,
yeah.
Which, like, he's not... I don't think he's like you want to cut him. He's better than that.
He's a great safety blanket, but it's not like everyone's game planning around stopping Kyle Rudolph.
Like you could pay there's a good chunk of tight ends that can run the routes he's running.
I feel like David Morgan can run
his,
the routes.
His best asset is red zone. He's 6'6", jump ball, you know, or just throw it up high. You know, he runs those
or
like
Hail Mary.
In and out. Yeah, the Hail Mary against Detroit. Like I think he's got a good, he could have a good role. It's just, I also get the point of people saying, like, I don't want it to come across like we think he's some amazing player.
Yeah.
Like, I easily could see Irv Smith, David Morgan, Conklin being just good, completely good enough to go by with.
Those numbers being better than last year's.
I just, if
numbers.
You were going to cut Rudolph, you should have done it way earlier.
Yeah. And I think,
now
I think if we do cut Rudolph, I feel like that says a lot about Irv Smith Jr.
Yeah. That maybe they think he looked ready. He's only 20. That's what scares me. Tight ends always have a struggle their first year.
He's 2 years younger than those guys.
Yeah, he's 2 years younger. And he's just a very different tight end where I think they would work well together.
Yes.
Like Rudolph is your red zone possession, big target. And Gerv Smith's like a run after catch tight end. Again, a lot of people compared him like Hernandez. I know it's weird because that guy's a murderer. But like how they used Big Gronk with like the more H-back type with Gerv Smith. And then you got Morgan, who it's like, okay, he's more possession and blocker. So it's like you have three different, very distinct talents.
Yeah.
Where I would kind of like that instead of just getting rid of the big red zone guy and being like, all right, we'll just
figure it out. I definitely like the different, you know, different styles of tight ends.
Three different roles, like very clearly. And who was, I think it was Doogie, had Rudolph on one of his podcasts. And I didn't listen to it, but I saw on Twitter someone saying, hey, he sounds like he's kind of, still thinks he's going to stay. And then Doogie replied, well, the OC wants him, and that's big.
Yeah.
So, like, sounds like Stefanski wants to keep Rudolph, which, again, is kind of the same reason we want to keep him. Like, you don't just want to get rid of good.
Yeah.
Again, not a great player, not a game changer, not a playmaker. He's a useful player.
Definitely.
So don't just get rid of useful players to get rid of useful players. It's funny, like, I was thinking, like, in fantasy football, like, we do a lot of trades, and I always think, like, oh, I want to trade this guy for picks next year. But then it's like, okay, well, like, he's also kind of good, so, like, I could just use him.
Yeah.
Yes, I won't end up getting picks for him, but, like, I'm also trying to win. Like, yeah. if we're like, we're not the Vikings aren't rebuilding. We're trying to win. I don't need a 6th round pick next year. Fuck
no,
that.
No,
you see what Spielman did to get picks? We can get picks without trading players.
Yeah. And as of now, we have 10 picks going into next year. And that's the number Spielman wants. So why add more?
And what did we go into this year with? 8? And he ended with 12?
Yeah. Like, he's going to maneuver. He's going to manipulate the draft board the way he wants.
Dude knows how to add picks, so I wouldn't worry about that. So, but I do think something's going to happen. It sounded like they also offered him an extension.
Yep.
But PFT was saying it was probably more of a...
take a pay cut.
Not a pay cut, but like an accounting thing where it's like it lowers this year's cap to help out next year's and like, you know, stuff like that. Like, and Rudolph, in the end, it's probably like, okay, this isn't really an extension. It's more like... You're using me to get under the cap and get some breathing room, and I want real money.
Yeah.
You know?
You're just taking my $7.5 million that I could get this year
and like spreading it out.
So I'm not really taking a pay cut. Uh-huh. I'm just putting my body on the line for, you know.
And I'm not getting a free agency as soon. Like, he should be a free agent next year. He is only 29. Like, why which do I shocked
like
me.
I feel like he's like 31, when 32.
When I saw that, because he said, someone asked him, would you take a pay cut? And he's like, I'm too young for that. And I was like, really? And then I looked at 29, like, yeah, he's like in his prime.
Yeah.
Problem is, you know, he's a big 6'6", lumbering dude. His body doesn't last. Like, it's like, dude, Gronk already retired.
Yeah.
Not that he was ever Gronk, but like similar body type of like, them big guys, it takes a toll on them.
Definitely. And that, I mean, you just compare it to like, you know, NBA centers and stuff like that. They don't last very long.
Yeah, Tyler Eifert's body didn't last very long. Who's the other? There's that one tall Jimmy Graham. Like, what is he now? Yeah, he's useless. You know,
he got beat up and he's done.
Yao Ming, like you said, that guy. You know,
yep,
couldn't last. Their bodies just don't do it.
Seven, and Shaq. I don't think Shaq's body really lasted. He just was so tough. He just powered through.
And that
everything.
Dude, like before he got super big, was like an athletic freak.
Yeah,
like, running Rudolph the floor. Isn't an athletic freak. Rudolph's just an athletic 6'6".
Yeah.
So I think we both agree we'd like to keep Rudolph. But something's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So whatever happens, happens. It's not the end of the world if we lose him. Because I think we went into... We literally, when we did our little checklist of like off-season moves, I think we said, you could cut Rudolph, add a rookie in the first or second round, and I still think it's an upgrade. And I still believe that.
Yep.
It's just like, it's like a super upgrade when you keep Rudolph.
Exactly. So. But that's before the fact that we figured we didn't know that we'd have the tight end... have our entire draft class, and still have Rudolph on the roster. So now it's like, why would... Yeah, we got the first or second round tight end, but why would we cut Rudolph?
Again, yeah, don't get rid of useful players.
No.
And I think, again, when we talked about cutting Rudolph, it was the beginning of the offseason when maybe you could have added, I don't know, who's a decent guy for $6 million a year.
You can't, know? Because CJ Uzoma got $7.5 million a year.
Well, I'm not even talking about a tight end. Like, you could have added another guard.
Oh,
Nick Easton. Would you rather have Nick Easton right now or Kyler Rudolph?
Rudolph.
Okay, name a good player, not Nick Easton. There's got to be someone that went for like $4 to $6 million that like I'd rather have than Rudolph.
DeSean Jackson?
I feel like he got paid more.
Okay.
Maybe there isn't. Maybe that doesn't exist anymore. Like Josh Klein is the only guy that like
I was going to say got Jordan, paid. Jordan Hicks?
I think he went even higher than that. He got like 8-9.
Okay.
I think he's higher. So there really might not have been, so maybe that's why like you said, once CJ Azuma and Jesse James get paid like the same amount as Rudolph, it's like, hey, we got a little bargain here. Actually.
Yeah.
Yep. But so, anyways, we got Bradbury under contract.
That solidifies the O-line going into the year.
Yeah, I think, should we maybe jump into talking about the offseason? Just go through position by position?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's hit it.
Start with quarterback.
So we let Simeon go.
And we acquired Sean Mannion.
What do you think? Like, is that improve?
I don't know much about like Mannion, but I've
totally
seen...
Totally lateral move.
I was just going to say, I've seen Simeon play. And, you know, maybe it's a little downgrade because Simeon does have game experience.
Yeah. But I guess the only problem is I have is, like, I watched Simeon in preseason, and it was horrible.
There's a reason.
But I've seen him play for Denver, and he was competent. Maybe a little below that, but, like, he wasn't...
A solid
like,
backup.
Slightly below Keenum. Like, he was, like, when we signed Keenum.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like... Keenum's kind of like, I don't know, but like very similar to what Simeon was. But
then Mannion did come from McVay. Yeah, and so I think that adds more probably experience to the quarterback room.
Yeah.
Because he probably learned a lot from McVay and who was that? Zach Taylor, now the coach.
The Bengals,
for the Bengals coach. So he brings a lot, and I think we'll probably want to use more of that single back personnel. I think that, you know, that West Coast.
Mm-hmm. So he's that, probably a little ahead just as far as the Shanahan system, because it all comes back to Shanahan and Kubiak. McVay was with Kyle, who was with Mike, McVay was actually just with Mike, but he was on the same staff as Kyle.
Yeah.
Because Kyle ended up leaving. But I think I would just call it a lateral. Like, to me, Sean Mannion.
I'm actually kind of excited about. I just kind of talked myself into being pumped about Mannion, just because bringing some knowledge. So
that should be the name of my podcast. Being pumped about Mannion, because that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Come on now.
As a backup.
I think he's not going to play. Cousins is always super healthy. Yeah, when was the last time he missed a ball game?
When is the last time?
I think he started all 16 games every year.
You never had one with the Redskins where he got banged up?
I don't think so.
Hmm. Well, he was, like, never hurt at all last year, and he got, like you said, destroyed.
So.
I think Mannion, the part that people are scared about is the no-playing experience, but it's, like, it's not really his fault. Like, who has he been behind? Has Goff just not gotten hurt, or has he been the third stringer, or what's...
Goff's never really gotten hurt.
So it's just, like, sorry he didn't get the chance, but whatever. He was a fourth-round pick, I think.
Yeah, fourth or fifth.
I mean, he was middle of the draft, so, I don't know, we'll see. And then we got Jake Browning, was our main UDFA signing, so we'll see how he is. And then you have Sloter, so...
Yeah, probably.
To me, I wouldn't say we improved. I wouldn't say we...
Got worse, either.
Yeah. So, quarterback, whatever. Yep, let's just hope Kirk Cousins is better because of scheme.
He will be.
Yeah. And I still look at his stats, and I'm shocked how good they are.
I am, too.
I don't get it. How does he disappoint me every week? Not every week, but like a lot of weeks. And somehow you're 30 touchdowns, 10 picks. It's just crazy to me.
And it's so weird. 30 touchdowns, 10 picks, same old 8-8 record.
And then Teddy Bridgewater, I always felt like he came through. Look at his numbers. Garbage numbers. Not garbage, but not even close to Cousins. Dude went 11-5. Like, it's weird.
It was really weird.
I think it's clutch situations and big time games. Like, Cousins put a bunch of stats against the Dolphins.
The Cardinals.
Yeah, like games like that. The Packers. And then, the Packers, trash team. Trash team, the Packers. Garbage. Well, really?
Best team in the league.
Probably one of the most, definitely the most improved team in our division, though, if they can gel.
Yeah, if those pieces work.
Yeah, we only added a few things, and they, like, fucking revamped their whole defense. Yeah. Let's jump to running back. So, decent shakeup, because we lost Latavius Murray.
Yeah.
Is Rock Thomas gone yet?
He's not gone, but I mean...
He's out of my mind.
Yep.
And so basically the swap is Murray for Madison.
Yeah, and I haven't seen Madison, but I know I'm more excited about Madison than I am Murray.
The thing with Murray, super consistent, good hands, did everything he needed, but like not dynamic. Like we were going into last year, remember, and it was, I think we had... We were talking about how we had McKinnon and Murray, and we were missing that, like, Dalvin Cook towards ACL.
Yep.
It was like, no one was ever scared of McKinnon or Murray. It was like, these guys are just, they're just guys. We needed that Dalvin Cook explosiveness back. So hopefully Madison's a little more, I don't know, game-breaking than
Murray. I feel like he would be, because he kind of brings the same stuff as Murray, but he's fresher.
Well, it's like, you're like 7 years younger. You should be a little more fresh. But he's got to be good at football, which we haven't seen yet. And Murray's... a good enough back to be in a rotation, like on a team. He got paid decent money from
New Orleans.
So,
and I'm hoping, I mean, it all comes back to whether Dalvin's healthy this year.
Yeah. Well, because last year he was coming in with an ACL off his ACL. So like this year he should be healthy.
And I think this scheme will definitely be better for him than DeFilippo's scheme. The problem is
we can't keep going back to that. Like everything's better because of the scheme. But
you could.
It should. Like, it totally could.
I mean, that was a bad scheme for our players. Like, we did not fit that. I mean, it didn't work.
It didn't work. But talent-wise, would you say we improved? What's the word I'm looking for? Regressed?
I feel like we regressed talent-wise just because you go from a veteran
to an unproven rookie.
Yeah, no, he's a third-round rookie.
And you could, like, it's one of those where it's, I like what we did, though, as a whole. Because it's not like I would want to keep Murray for what he got paid. That's craziness. Like, I would much rather just draft a guy in the third round. So, I like what they did. I think it's a great plan. They just need to have picked the right guy.
True.
And if they picked the right guy, we improved. If we picked the wrong guy, we regressed.
Definitely.
So it's really up to, Rick Spielman. This is, or the coaches, coach them up.
And And so, I mean, we haven't really talked about Mike Boone, but maybe, you know, Boone's a little better this year too. So yeah. if Matt Dog needs a little time, mm-hmm. hopefully Boone can come in and, you know, ease the pressure off that second running back.
What do you think? So you say, I mean, Cook's obviously the full starter, but then you think they'll have a battle between Boone, Madison, and
Abdullah?
Amir. So yeah,
I think that's probably the plan. I mean, at first it's got to be an open competition.
I didn't even think about Amir. I mean, he might, if someone else wins that kick return job, I think he might be off the team.
I agree.
But I did think, as far as that role he had last year, he was solid with it. So
nope.
I'm glad they brought him back. Certainly, it wasn't a thing. I think they got it for minimum. So
I thought we'd give him a little more than minimum.
It might have been slightly more than minimum. Yeah.
I think a solid kick returner and potential, you know, a little scat back occasionally. Yeah,
definitely not a workhorse, but someone like a McKinnon. Like, he could play the McKinnon role.
I feel like we used Abdullah a little more after we got rid of Flip.
Yeah, I think he rotated in more. Yeah. Like a lot of times it'd be just dump offs to him.
You know, he's one of those guys who, you know, he's not really good between the tackles, but get him into open space, mm-hmm. try and let him make a play.
Yeah, good hands. He can. So, yeah, I'll say we probably, it's weird. It's like you say regress, but easily could be improved.
Yeah. Right? You're like right on the edge with the running back crew because you just, you know what you
had in Murray. It wasn't great, but it was solid.
Now you've got this unknown, which we've seen backfire before,
but we've seen it could easily be really good.
And like, there's so many running backs every year. You never know which ones are good.
Which is why I'm glad they didn't pay Murray. It's like, you can find a running back. Yep. We found Boone and Rock Thomas last year undrafted.
Yeah, and
Both made the 53-man roster, so, I mean, they must have liked him somewhat. Oh. Fullback CJ Ham.
Wow, we improved.
Vast improvement.
Yep, he's a year better.
He's a fucking hero.
He's a year better.
Let's go to tight end, because, well, we talked a little bit tight end.
We talked
absolutely improved.
Yeah.
Even if we cut Rudolph, I think we absolutely improved.
We didn't lose anyone, and we added a second-round pick in Irv Smith Jr., a top 50 player in the draft, in our opinion.
Yeah.
So
this is one of probably the most improved spots, actually.
I was just about thinking that, too.
Yeah. Now, if you cut Rudolph, it's not. But I still think I'd rather, if I had to pick one, I'd take Irv Smith over Rudolph. So it's improved no matter what.
Yep. I agree with that. And because I like what Smith could do. I mean, he comes from Alabama, so he had to block in line. I mean, he's kind of move tight end.
He can do a lot. They line up in the backfield, line him up out wide, line him in line.
And, you know, people bring up Aaron Hernandez, the murderer. But, you know, he was 20 when he came in the league, too, that murdering piece of shit he was.
He was 20?
He was 20, I believe, when he came in. So, you know, there you go.
And he was good, like, with a year. I think his first year he didn't do much, but little flashes. Yep. And then second year was really good. So, I just hope Irv Smith can
not murder anyone.
Wasn't going to say that, but yes. Let's put that on all of our draft picks. No murderers, please. I was saying be our third playmaker, because we'll get to receivers next, but like, I don't think we added a third playmaker, unless it's Irv Smith Jr. Like, it has to be Irv Smith Jr. Yep, he's 20, and that's a little risky, because like, last year I felt like late in the season people were just doubling Diggs and Thielen, and it was like, is Aldrick Robinson going to get open? Is Treadwell?
Well, it's nice, because you know, we usually have Thielen in the slot, but it can be Thielen or Diggs. The other one plays outside. You can have Smith play outside, or you can have Smith in the slot, move both of them outside. Mm-hmm. I feel like he is your third playmaker.
Yeah. I think that's what they're counting on, because there's no other option. Because like, Rudolph, again, we've talked to him a lot, he's not a playmaker. He's a reliable red zone target, curl route running, possession receiver. Irv Smith Jr. needs to, like, you know, break big plays, make guys miss.
Run across the middle.
Yeah, run up the seam. So, and if he can't do that at a high level, we're back to Diggs and Thielen.
And that's not good, because then we're back to last year.
Yeah, which hopefully, again, scheme-wise, maybe. And you should be able to win some games with two damn good receivers, but it is nice to have that third person where it's like, they're going to give you single coverage every play because of the other two guys. Beat them.
Yeah.
Like, come on. It's like Treadwell. Beat them.
All you have to do is create more separation than Treadwell. That's all we're asking.
The bar is low. So tight end, definite improvement. Let's go receiver. We've kind of been touching on it.
You got to go regress, because we lost Aldrick Robinson.
I guess. But you added two late round picks.
Dylan Mitchell, and I always forget the other one.
Alabassi Johnson.
Okay.
Alabassi or something. Can they be better than Aldrick? I feel like yes. Like,
I agree.
Comparing it to the Murray-Madison thing, Murray is a good NFL player. Aldrick Robinson is like, dude, he just got signed. He's like, he scores some touchdowns for us, and now people think he's like, some great receiver. I think he was just sort of the guy that was in that role.
And
I don't know.
I feel like he was, the reason why he scored so many touchdowns is because it's like, the defense kind of forgot about him.
Yeah, he just kind of gets behind the, I don't want to give too much credit to him, but he did come here and make plays, which Treadwell wasn't doing,
yep.
Which, we
were able to take some deep shots with him.
Yeah, because there's no one else to do that. Like, Treadwell's not that round of receiver. Treadwell's kind of a bad fit for our offense. Like, yeah. It's like,
I wish we would take more deep shots with Thielen and Diggs down the side.
I think we're going to have to because, again, we don't have a deep threat right now. That's
Diggs is definitely the guy I want to see deep. You know,
like in the Packer game,
yeah.
70 yards downfield. Like, do more of that.
He's so good, at the point of attack.
Yeah,
getting off D backs. You know, he good after the catch. He stops on a dime and just turns the other direction.
I think the big thing is that like we don't have a guy that just can burn someone running in a straight line 4-3 speed.
Yeah.
Like Thielen and Diggs get open deep by like double moves. You know, like they're not slow, obviously, but they're not just like Elder Robinson would just run straight. And it was like, oh shit, you tried to just have your nickel corner cover him deep, he outran him. And we don't have that right now if we don't go unless Dylan Mitchell.
You know, I feel like, you know, you can like Antonio Brown can't be that much faster than Diggs and he just runs in a straight line downfield.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think you could certainly do it. And I think we're gonna have to do it because we didn't add any receivers besides 2 seventh round picks.
Yeah. And you know, one on one against Diggs is open.
That's the thing. Remember Sidney Rice? He wasn't fast. Deep threat all day.
Yeah.
Favre was like, they can't cover him. 6'4", jumping out of the gym. Like, just I'll just even up to him.
Yeah. Well, and Diggs can jump too. Like that. I mean, you just go back to, you know, the Saints game, the last play.
Yeah. Where he was just way up in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you just throw it up to him, again, his contested catch, his concentration, both of them, even Thielen, you could just throw it up to him.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
I like
it. Dudes make plays. So. I think I'm with you. Receiver, I would say regressed, but
could easily improve.
Again, it's like running back. Yeah, you lost your you lost your veteran piece in Eldrick Robinson, but he wasn't that great, and you replaced it with 2 seventh round rookies. You hope Chad Beebe's healthy and can have a role. Zylstra maybe is improved.
Yeah. I really like Mitchell. I'm hoping he
can be that third guy.
Yep.
Treadwell? Is it Treadwell season?
It is actually Treadwell season.
Have you heard if he's been, you know, doing looking good?
I have not seen anything about him looking good. I'm waiting for the OTA so I can get some videos of him jumping out of the gym, you know, tearing up that fifth round corner or that fifth quarterback, you know.
Our fifth cornerback's good. He might not get open. I don't know.
Hey, if he tears up our fifth cornerback, he's going to be good.
Poor Treadwell.
Romo just got destroyed.
Watching the Packers. Cowboy NFC divisional game from 2014.
Yeah, the Dez. It's the Dez.
Oh,
catch.
Is that what this is?
Yep, this is the Dez play.
Dez game.
Yeah, the Dez game. Yep. But
so yeah, receivers. I would say it's so hard to say regrets. Oh,
Dez is available. Let's get Dez.
No.
let's take that $7 million from Rudolph.
Give it all to
get
Dez. Give it to Romo too. All right. So offensive line.
Oh,
this is our best improved spot. I mean, I know you were working from about -100 because that was horrible. Like
that's funny that we said tight end was the most improved spot. Offensive line, is definitely.
I think if you ranked them, because I don't think anything on defense would be. So I think it's offensive line then tight end.
Yeah,
and then a lot of it is just didn't regress or like you're working with a rookie instead of a veteran. But offensive line, you added Josh Klein, you added Bradbury. You added Samia.
You added,
retained Brett Jones and Rashad Hill.
You
added
Dozier. There's another one in there.
Oli Udo.
Didn't we get one more offense?
I think it's just
one more veteran.
I think it's just Klein and Dozier. And then we re-signed Brett Jones, and I think a lot of people were kind of surprised up. Unless we're missing one.
I feel like we're missing. I thought we had 3 veterans. Doesn't matter.
I think Jones might be the guy we're thinking of.
Yeah. But, I mean, Samia and Bradbury, you could have just added those two and call it.
Yeah, and it would have been better. It wouldn't have been like, you know, like that we added Klein too.
Definitely.
It's like, but, yeah, you probably could have just done Bradbury and Samia. And
called it a day. But
now you're looking left to right. Reef, Elfline, Bradbury.
Klein.
Brian O'Neill. and you didn't lose your swing backup. Rashad Hill's still there. You got your backup center guard, Brett Jones, or Elflein.
Or, yeah.
Because now he's a guard. He's actually got to probably battle for his job, which is good.
Yeah. You could easily go into the year with Reef, Klein, Bradbury, Samia, O'Neal.
For right? sure. Uh-huh.
And I think I'm more excited about
If Samia wins a job, I'm pumped.
Definitely. Like,
give me that. Hell, if he beats out Klein and it ends up being Elflein, Bradbury, and Samia. Like, I don't mind that.
I really don't mind that because then that four out of your five starters are all under 25.
Rookie deals, I would assume.
And, I mean, they've got time to gel. Like, that could be potentially your core four for on your offensive line for a long time.
And then I think eventually you would, unless you left tackle just sitting there, but O'Neal maybe, the left
maybe
tackle.
Maybe Hill keeps getting better and O'Neal goes the left tackle and Rashad Hill is your right tackle.
So I would say vastly improved, especially with the Bradbury. I just think the more you like read about him and watch him, and it's very likely he's going to be at least a pretty damn good center.
Like, it always sounded like he was the safest offensive lineman in that class. It's just you don't take him in the top five because the center position isn't at
It would I would say like him and Jonah Williams were the kind of the two like. These guys will be good players.
Yeah, they're anchors for your offensive line in 10 years. Jonah Williams is your anchor at tackle if you're looking for a tackle.
Uh-huh. And if he fails there, he's a great guard. You know, like it was kind of a – you're not going to draft a bust, basically.
Yeah. Yep. So, and that's kind of why like people stop really talking about Williams as we got closer to the draft because they're like, the upside isn't as high as like Dillard or the other guys. But
even like a Jawan Taylor who ended up falling to the second, but like they talk about it, it's like, oh, look at this, athletic big mauler, guy all around. And sometimes those safe guys, though, they can backfire. Like I remember Aaron Curry.
Yeah.
All the talk was like, oh, well, he's the safe one.
Yeah.
Total bust.
We talked about that when we did like our first draft talk. Like, the guys who they say are like, the NFL ready guys, what you see is what you get.
Yeah, like, I remember I said Brian Robisky because he was like a coach's kid. It's like, he's not a number one receiver, but he'll be a great number two. Yeah. Terrible player.
Awful. and that happens all the time, the safe linebackers.
Yeah.
Aaron Curry, yeah.
Yeah.
All of
fundamentally
them.
Sound, but it's like, okay. Are they going to make plays or are they just like not that good?
Yeah. So, I mean, they've got fluid hips, but
I feel like you never want to hear like he's probably a good number two receiver or he's a real solid linebacker. It sounds to me like you're just saying he's not like good.
Yeah. like that's kind of why I got a little scared of AJ Brown. Cause they're like, he's probably not a number one receiver. It's like, well, I mean, you don't even say that he's got number one upside. Like that wasn't a thing at all. It's like, so,
it's like you're drafting like a specialized guy, like an Andy Isabella, where it's like he's just a number two burner. But like at least it's like this is why he's a number two, because he's fast and that's all he does. Where AJ Brown, it's like we just don't think he's got the skills to be number one. He's just like a number two.
Yeah.
I think that means he's not good. So.
Probably not. But hopefully that's not. A big body receiver who can run routes and you're not.
Yeah, you're not going to be a number one. You're just going to be some
Marcus Robinson guy.
Yeah, Marcus Robinson. But Bradbury, like I think with Lyman, I don't know. When you see those guys, it just seems like they love football, physical. He just seems like
he gets to the next level. Like he doesn't seem to get trapped. He doesn't turn around and look for someone to block.
He's just the perfect fit for our scheme. So hopefully,
then the center is huge for that zone scheme.
Yeah, and also I don't need people coming to the middle like Kirk Cousins because he can't handle it.
Yeah,
Keep him protected. So I think we did a great job with offensive line. Let's go to the defense. So on offense, we said quarterback is basically a lateral move. Running back and receiver, like a tiny bit, like
you regress because you don't know what you're getting.
Yeah, you moved into the unknown a little bit, but receiver, we didn't really do anything, but we didn't really lose anything.
Receiver and running back are like probably the spots where you have the highest upside for like the unknown part. Like you
took a couple shots at receiver, you took a third on running back, like. And you didn't lose much at receiver. You lost a good player at running back, but you got a third. So, like, I don't know.
If Mitchell or the other rookie we drafted,
Johnson,
can catch
and then it's
kind of separate,
you did
just fine.
And if Madison can be just a solid running back like Murray was,
if he can get you 4 yards per carry.
There's a plan at both spots. And then tight end, we improved.
And I wonder, like, I mean, sure, Madison's going to probably be our goal line back, but I want to see a lot more Dalvin at the goal line.
Yeah, I think they probably will have Madison do a lot of that because they just kept talking about how he always falls forward, how he, you know, keeps his feet
tough,
turning. And
tough runner, yeah.
So I think some of that's also keeping Cook fresh, you know.
But true, you don't want to take
Cook, I think Cook is good at short yardage and stuff. I hated when we brought him, like, because actually, Murray, a couple years ago, when we brought him in after we had, it was the year with Bradford where Asiata was our main guy, him and McKinnon, and dude, they got stuffed on fourth and short so much.
Asiata was so bad at the
horrible.
Just running the back of your offensive lineman.
And then Murray came and like really helped that out. Because I know he had like was like 8 touchdowns of 1 yard with the Oakland Raiders or something.
Yeah.
And but then last year, like again, I don't want to keep ragging on DeFilippo, but it was so obvious every time we were just gonna run it right up the gut.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, get Cook out there and run like a pitch play or something.
Yep, or a counter. Yeah. You know, something.
Yeah, don't just run fucking Murray right up the pipe. So, we'll see with Madison. Overall, what do you think? The offense better?
Worse? Offense is better.
I think it's absolutely better.
It's absolutely better because you destroyed that abomination of an offensive line and brought in good players.
Yeah, you improved your weakest spot and barely... You improved tight end. So your two weakest spots, probably. Tight end was, I mean... Definitely not.
Besides, wide receiver was probably your weak.
Yeah, but you have Diggs and Thielen. That's a strength.
That's
like if you're just looking at the whole roster, I would say Rudolph being your starting tight end, he's fine, but again, he's not that great. So I think that's a bigger upgrade there, adding Irv Smith, than anything you could have done at receiver, unless you added like some ridiculously good player. But you held firm on quarterback, running back, receiver, and then you improved tight end, O-line. I mean, I think the offense should be much better.
Yeah.
And that's not even starting to talk about the scheme.
I was just going to say, bring in, you know, Stefanski, a full-year Stefanski, like here, and Kubiak. So.
Yeah, people are going into this year talking about how
Cousins threw for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns last year. I'm, like, kind of excited to see what he can do with actual good scheme and good
players. I hope his numbers are worse. Like, he shouldn't have thrown that much. Part of why he had such good numbers is because he threw 50 times a game. Like,
well, I'm hoping he does maybe the same thing, but we actually win 12 ball games.
Yeah, I think like more like the Favre's numbers from 09, where it was like, what do you have, like 33 touchdowns at like seven? He probably actually
I thought it was like 36 and
yeah, he
seven.
Might have. He might have. I just get the interceptions to like 6. Yeah. Touchdowns, I don't even care. 20 to 30.
And but don't
like,
fumble.
Yeah, it would be big. Don't fumble. Yeah, I just win. Just win some games. But, some of it was like he threw 50 sometimes and was racking up some crazy yards.
Well, there were some times when he was throwing 53 times and he wasn't.
Yeah. Which is a problem. Yeah. Going into the offseason, people were saying, like, there's no way this team can be better because now we're, like, capped out and all this stuff than last year. But I think once we get to the end of this, I feel like we're going to be better. So let's just go to safeties.
Let's take a break real quick.
Oh, let's take a break. Let's hit this pause button.
Welcome back. Thanks for sticking around during that break.
Long break. Yeah. Sorry, listeners.
It's
a rough one.
Well, we had to catch the Dez Bryant play.
Yeah, yeah.
The catch.
It was a catch.
It was definitely a catch.
Definitely a catch.
Like, it blew my mind. I kind of remember it being a little, like, closer than that. Like, oh, yeah, I can see it. But no, that was a blatant blown call.
If that's not a catch, then the Ertz catch in the Super Bowl is not a catch.
Like, yeah.
He's falling and the ball comes flying out. So,
And, like, they called Jesse James catch earlier.
Oh, yeah.
That not a catch. That
same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it lets, you know, the Packers win this game, and then they completely collapse in the next week. So I'm happy it happened.
Did they blow a 12-point lead with, like, 2.5 minutes left?
Yeah, when your player intercepts the ball and then falls down on purpose because he thinks the game's over and you end up losing, you fucked up.
That was hilarious. Was that Nick Collins?
Nick Collins, yeah. And, like, his teammates were saying, you know, get down. And then I'm pretty sure the announcer was like, why did he get down? Like, he had plenty of running room to, like,
go
get into scoring position, maybe score. And they end up losing. And it's like, thinking back, yeah, you probably shouldn't have just knelt the ball there when there was over 2 minutes to go. But anyways,
wild.
Fuck the Packers.
That break was brought to you by Weedman Lawn Care. They specialize in fertilization, broadleaf weed control, crabgrass control. Again, it's the middle of May. You want to get that crabgrass
taken care of. Get your lawn looking sharp, you know. And you don't want to do it yourself. Get these guys out here. They're the professionals.
They're the professionals. And actually, they are North America's largest franchise-owned lawn care company. So that's huge. The owner has a college degree in turf management.
That you can do that? You get a degree in turf management?
That's how you get groundskeeper jobs at stadiums and stuff like that.
Oh.
Yep. And I never highlighted this earlier this episode, but it is absolutely 100% kid and pet safe.
Mm.
So that's huge because, you know, you can have them come while you're at work, spray your lawn for those pesky weeds, pesky mosquitoes, and when your kid gets home from school, you can let your dog out, let the kid go run on the lawn, and it's great. So to get a hold of them, you can visit them at weedmanusa.com or give them a call at 651-796-2346 and tell them Grapes and Gorak sent you.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right, back to our kind of our off-season review. As since pretty much I think every move is done besides whatever happens with Rudolph, we're not going to add anyone. We're not really going to do anything big. So we talked offense. Now let's go to defense. I feel like less things happen on defense. Start with safety. Lost Sendejo,
but he didn't really play last year. What did he do? Get hurt week five
against Philadelphia? Pretty early on, and then Anthony Harris pretty much outplayed him.
Yep, like, took his job.
Wally Pipped him? Is that what the...
Yeah, I think that's the same. Wally Pipped him.
Yeah, and then we added one safety, right, in the draft? Or is he a corner?
Epps, I think he's a safety.
He's a safety. We get that other corner off.
Yep, and then we brought in a safety from the AAF for a tryout.
Mm-hmm. We caught one of the AAF guys already. I can't remember if it was him. I think it was him. So, safety, really, lost Sendejo, added a guy.
We cut the corner, kept the safety.
Okay. So, I guess this one has to be we regressed.
I believe it's regressed because Sendejo, like, as your third safety, I mean, even he was the starter going in.
Yeah, but he was the third towards the end of the season. He was healthy, I think, at some point, right?
Yep, he was still a good player. He fit us. He fit that second safety role for Zimmer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he went out and got paid. I mean, he got, you know, 1.2 mil.
Like nothing. I'm
very surprised, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe that just kind of shows what that second safety means on the Zimmer defense.
Well, I was just going to say that. I think it's the easiest position in this defense to find, to fill. I think they do I think it's like your last line of defense, deep safety.
Plays that robber role.
Yeah, just come up. I think it's an easy skill set to find. And also, wasn't his injuries concussions?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's always a bit of a red flag. He's a reckless kind of, not reckless.
I mean, but he.
Of anyone on our defense, he was the one trying to lay the hit down, and a guy with a concussion problem doing that, like, you're not going to get as much money in the open market because they're a little worried you're not going to last.
Yep. I mean, one more hit could be your career.
And then other safety, Jayron Kearse, not really a safety anymore. I would call him more of a corner at this point.
He's a D-back, you know.
He's a little jack-of-all-trades D-back, but like you don't ever see him playing like a deep middle or like a deep zone. He plays like big nickel.
Yeah, he's...
Talks of him being a linebacker, but that's gone away. And then they said, you know, he's more like he's going to fight for the slot corner job. It's like, okay, well, that's basically... You call it whatever you want.
He's a good asset to have.
Plays slot corner when they're in base offense, he's basically a linebacker.
Yeah,
I'd
almost rather see him as our base linebacker than Ben Gideon. I mean, it's not like Gideon's complete trash, but it's just I don't know. I'd rather see Kearse.
It depends who he's replacing. Like if he's taking Gideon's spot against the base offense, I would consider that more of a linebacker.
Yep.
If he's playing nickel and he's taking Mackenzie Alexander's spot, like he did a decent amount in the red zone. It seemed like Zimmer liked him in the red zone, probably because he's 6'4", lanky. It's like hard, you know, you're condensed in that area.
Yep.
Then he's playing corner, you know? So, like, seems like safety's the least he's playing. I mean, I know it's like DB, you know, he's DB.
Yeah,
so.
but like, I mean, if you're going to position him as safety, it's just like, it's a weird safety role.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to have, though. It's nice to have a little chess piece kind of.
Yeah, because he's like a lesser version of Harrison Smith at that mm-hmm. point.
Yeah.
You don't have to always play. I mean, you can have Harrison come up, show blitz, and then, you know, do what he always does and just roll out at the last second. Mm-hmm. It's just, you can do a lot of things with Kearse kind of playing up towards the line.
Yeah. I like
being
him.
That athletic.
But overall, safety, you lost Sendejo. You went down. Speaking of Anthony Harris, though, you think he's the next guy to get a contract? You think they'll give him one? I've seen some people on Twitter kind of talking Anthony Harris maybe getting a contract. I kind of feel like, again, back to being like that position is easy in our defense, I wouldn't want to commit a lot of money to it.
Yeah, it's almost like how much are you paying him? If it's like a 4-year, $18 million deal, yeah, that's somewhere that I find super acceptable. And it's like
someone had like a big number, like paying him like a
starting safety, like
a good starting safety. And it's like,
if you're going the 436, 438 range, even 430, it's kind of going, Oh,
yeah, it's like you're paying him like he's a. I know he graded out really good in PFF. I know he makes plays.
I wouldn't want to pay him. It's just because I really like Harris. It's just I don't know if it's smart to pay him.
Exactly, and I don't know if it's the time yet. Like maybe prove it another year. You played half a season, played well.
Yep.
And I know you're risking losing him, but unless you get him for like that Thielen contract, that original one, where it was definitely a. You're good, here's a contract, and if you take it to another level, we'll talk, which is what we ended up doing. We extended him, gave him what he earned.
Yep.
But like it's like, Harris, you look good, everything looks good, but we're not going to give you a big payday because you had a good half a season. So yep, I think I'd rather.
We want you, but we don't know if we can throw that at you. Like,
yeah.
Do it again for two more years, then we'll do what, like mm-hmm. you said, we'll do what we did with Thielen, and we'll extend you as soon as possible. Also,
safety market always seems to be just loaded in free agency. Like, every year,
there's well, Eric Berry's still a free agent. I know he's hurt, but he still plays at a top level when he's healthy.
So
It sounded like he didn't play at the end of last year because he wanted to get paid in free agency. He didn't want to risk getting hurt again.
Well, that didn't work.
No.
Okay, so we both kind of agree. A slight regress. Nothing major because you didn't lose a starter. You lost your best backup.
Yeah.
Let's jump to corners.
Corners, you got better because you got the same group and it's a year experience.
I would say. And Hughes will hope. I mean, he was hurt most of last year. So, and also, Mac Alexander went into last year as kind of a...
Cut on my 53-man roster.
Yeah, not even making the team on your 53. Definitely someone that everyone saw as a liability. Started out pretty rough and then... Killed it the last half of the year.
Yeah, wasn't it week 11 to 17? He graded out as PFF's highest nickel corner.
Highest nickel corner. So he's definitely gotten better. Hughes should be healthy. Waynes, Rhodes, obviously good. And then you got the Holton Hill suspension.
Yep, but I mean, going into last year, you weren't. I mean, he was an
undrafted. You weren't counting on him. Yeah, he wasn't anything. And then,
so, I mean, he suspended four games.
He shouldn't even play. Like, if people are healthy, he shouldn't have ever saw the field in those games.
Yep. So,
especially if Jaron Curse is mixing in as a slot corner too, it's like you got three slot corners, you got two.
The only reason why you might see Holton Hill is if when Xavier Rhodes gets banged up.
Yeah,
you know.
But what I think they would do is they'd put Hughes in before they put Holton Hill in.
Probably,
because Max stays in the inside, and Hughes seems like a guy that like to bounce around.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he got the interception last year playing outside.
Yep.
And I don't remember who was hurt that game, but Waynes maybe. That was week one.
Yeah.
Maybe Hughes was just playing.
Hughes was playing nickel.
Yeah, I think Mac was actually hurt.
He was
hurt early on in the season. And we had a Chris Boyd, Holton Hill's teammate from last year. So, I mean,
we got better.
We don't know anything. I think we got better. And, I mean, it's the same.
Yeah,
should be better. You didn't add anyone. You didn't lose anyone. Even though everyone thought we should trade Waynes or trade Rhodes or trade all these players. Because how are we going to send our draft picks? You got to trade Rhodes.
You got to trade Waynes.
You got to trade them all.
Yeah, well... You know, yeah, Chiefs fans thinking Trey Waynes is a third-string cornerback.
Oh, it's so bad.
Why does everyone think Trey Waynes is a bad player? Why? It seems like everyone thinks Trey Waynes is bad. They feel like they can just steal Trey Waynes.
Yeah. Oh, offer him a sixth. We'll get him and he'll be our backup. It's like, yeah, no. He's going to get a big-ass contract here.
Yeah.
If you need a guy that can take away a speed receiver, which is pretty important in this league, like... Take away those burners.
And he's lengthy. He's good against the run.
Really good against the run.
Yeah.
So. I love our secondary is awesome. So, linebackers.
Linebackers, you...
Definitely thought we were going to regress.
Yeah.
And then Barr was like, fuck New York. Also, Barr, good call. Because apparently the Jets are a disaster.
Yeah, they fired their GM.
And put Adam Gase in charge as interim GM.
Yeah.
Your new coach, who's only been there for like... 3 months is now your GM.
And Adam, I read an article where Adam Gase actually separated himself from Maccagna during the draft.
I saw that. He didn't want to be on where the TV showed him.
Yeah.
Because what's the guy's name, the GM?
Maccagna.
Yeah. He didn't want Gase's input, really. Just like, no, we're good. We got this. It just sounds like a disaster. I mean, the coach didn't really want to pay a running back. And then he's like, no, we're getting Le'Veon Bell. He paid a huge contract to C.J. Mosley. Also tried to get Barr. Barr backs out. Like, it seems like they're a disaster.
They paid, what did I see, like $196 million out to five players.
And then he does their draft where they have the
third pick,
and then they fire him afterwards.
Yep. I mean, I think they nailed it with the third pick taking Quinnen Williams. But at the same time, if your coach probably wants someone else. Mm-hmm.
And maybe it wasn't about the Quinnen Williams. Maybe it's later on. Who they get in the second round, I remember. The third or the fourth,
I don't know, but it just sounds like a dude didn't want Maccagnan didn't want Gase influencing his scouts' opinions on players.
So bad.
It's like, wait, he's the coach. He's the one doing everything on the field.
And that's the thing where, like, it is, you need that, where it's like, Zimmer, you don't need to, like, look at all these players, but tell me what you want in a player. What traits do you need for your, you know, outside linebacker or your weak side linebacker or your strong safety? Like, what do we need to find? And I feel like Vikings have been so good doing that on defense, where it's like Zimmer says, hey, this is what I need, and they go get him exactly what he needs. Oh. Offense, it's been bad.
Because
like,
there's so much
change. We're changing it. We don't really know what we're doing. We're zone. We're man. We're a little bit
of
zone.
See, and I think if Stefanski were to leave after this year, God willing, he doesn't. But, like, I think Kubiak would still be around, so you find another West Coast guy. I think Kubiak...
Clint Kubiak gets promoted. And probably. It's the Kubiak families. They're our offense.
And that'd be great, because then, you know, it's just year after year. It's like, oh, you know, these are the kind of guys. Yeah,
we need some consistency. Like, something where it's the same each year, so you can actually do that. And you don't have years like the Jets had, where they're drafting players and not asking their coach what he needs. Because now it's like, well, I don't... Like, Darren Lee... He clearly didn't have any use for him in what scheme he wanted to run, because he immediately traded him the day he became the interim GM.
For a sixth-round pick. It's like, gave him away. I can't use you. I can't use you. Get out of here.
So linebackers, though. Got Barr, got Kendricks. Kendricks at the restructure. You know, what a team player.
Oh,
what
great a gentleman, guy. You know? Guy taking non-guaranteed money, turning it into right into your own pocket.
You know, I mean, if Cousins only had half the team, you know, first attitude that Kendricks has.
If only he would have taken a five-year deal with
two more unguaranteed years tacked on. We could sign some guys. I know. It would change everything.
Oh, it'd be huge.
Also, though, I saw a lot of people, too, just praising Rob Brzezinski. Like, he did some amazing thing. It's like, okay, Rob has done an amazing job, but this little Kendricks move... Anyone could have saw this coming miles away.
Like, it's in his contract. Like, come on now, guys. Yeah. Like, that's what I love / hate about Vikings Twitter is a lot of them don't know anything about whatever. They just talk to talk.
They just love to, yeah.
And it's like, can we put some knowledge?
Did you see the guy who did the Thielen is not a good route runner? Got roasted.
Yes, by everyone nationally.
Everyone was like, no one is saying this. No one has ever said Thielen's not a good... It was clearly in response to like everyone praising Diggs, you know? Yeah. And it's like, but it's like, that's not a shot at Thielen. People just really love the Diggs gifts where he just completely shakes people and like...
Yeah, makes people fall over. So good. And then he's out there blocking like everyone.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, Vikings Twitter. Good times. God. Good times. But okay, back to linebackers.
Linebackers... I mean,
improved.
Your experience. Who did we lose? I don't think anyone.
Brothers is still there. Eric Wilson's still there. Ben Gideon, the great, is still there. Added Cameron Smith.
Added Cameron.
The rookie. So improved. You know, our team really hasn't changed a lot, I feel like. We're talking like the big loss at safety was a backup. No one left at linebacker. The big loss at running back, a backup. Backup quarterback.
Our team has changed. Just cause we may not have lost anyone, but we added a bunch.
We improved offensive line is like really, and then that tight end, like that's where we got better. I guess we're gonna get to who we lost.
Yeah, but first four picks are all on offense, and they're all like good players.
Yeah,
which we think.
Yeah, we think. But like when you talk about losses too, we didn't lose any. Like we lost a lot of people. They're all just backup. Like
yeah, we lost Nick Easton, didn't play last year. We lost Sendejo, didn't play most last of the year. We lost
Murray, backup.
Backup.
We lost Remmers and Compton, you said Easton already. Yeah, just guys that didn't matter or weren't effective, or, you know, we lost Eldrick Robinson. Okay, ooh, that's probably, like, our worst loss. It's like the dude we picked up on the street. Sheldon Richardson's our worst loss.
Yeah, but we'll get to that. But, yeah, I mean, like...
Whatever.
We got better on offense, which is where we really needed to get better.
Yeah,
and we're rolling out the same... Roughly the same defense that you had 2 years ago when you had Tom Johnson as your three tech, not Sheldon.
And you're running back the same playmakers, the same quarterback that we had last year. So it should, and you know, same running back.
And I feel our offensive line is better this year than it was the 13-3 year.
Absolutely.
So like we seem to feel like this is the best Vikings team in the last 5 years.
Yeah, and our scheme is the biggest change. Like because we always end up going back to it. It's like, okay, that's what's going to change hopefully things on offense. So linebacker improved.
No.
Pretty much the same dudes, plus the USC linebacker rookie.
Cam Smith.
Which is cool, because we thought we were going to lose Barr.
Yeah.
Nice to have him back.
Great to have him back.
Defensive line. You have to say regress,
because
you lost a starter.
Yep, you lost Sheldon Richardson.
He is the only starter we lost.
On defense, yes.
On the, okay. I guess we lost a starter on offense, but when you say Remmers is a starter.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I was glad he left. Yeah. Okay, only starter we lost that was a good player.
An impact. Only impactful starter. A plus starter.
Player. Yep. Yeah. Sheldon. Makes sense. Kind of the hired gun of the team. Yeah. It's just a one-year deal. Whatever. And you got Griffin back. He restructured. He took less money.
Yeah,
that's a real restructure. Why don't people praise him some more? He did take less money, right? He restructured straight up. He did take
less money, yeah, because I think... but it just kind of...
Did he just push it forward?
And he pushed it back.
I feel like his was an actual restructure.
Well, yeah, because we added a year to it.
Did we?
Because he had one year left, and we added a second year.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an option. Because he can void that last year.
Oh, that's right. He can get to free agency sooner. I think it was a little give and take, but I do think he's getting less money this year.
I think so,
because he had too. Actually come into Winter Park and
I think
he had to come in and sign a new contract.
I think
and stuff.
He went from like 11 mil to like 8.5. Yeah, I think he took less money.
Uh huh. And he kind of.
I think he guaranteed him some, because I don't think any was guaranteed this year.
Yeah, nothing was guaranteed. That was the big thing.
Yeah, I think he got himself some guaranteed money, but took less
overall money. And he did a whole press conference.
Yeah.
Like Kendricks, they like, you know, it was like nothing. It was a nothing thing. It was.
They had a picture of him signing.
Yeah. Everson Griffin was actually he talked about how he kind of realized that, you know, we stuck with him. He wasn't himself last year. Oh. He didn't, you know, it's tough to take a pay cut, but he understood. Like, that's a real pay cut.
Yeah. That was a real restructure.
Yeah. Kept him, Hunter, Linval. Linval scares me. I don't know. Is he getting towards like, I think not being as effective?
I think so. But later on during the year, we need a solid nose tackle to come in and like take a little breather.
Part of the Shamar Stephen signing. Hopefully Gila Johnson can kind of step up too, where you can rotate him in a little more, all these guys. Because like Linval's a big guy. He's getting older. Like, you can't play him as much as we've been playing him. You start getting the Jordan Howard runs up the middle.
Yep.
And that killed us. So like... but yeah, three tech is where we got the hole.
Yeah.
And when we did our checklist, two things they haven't done so far, and they probably won't do, was get another receiver.
Yep.
Another receiver that's actually more than a seventh round pick. And then a three tech, again, someone that's more than a sixth round pick, because we did add Armin Watts. But like you said, they talked about Jalen Holmes. I feel like we got some guys that can compete for that job.
Yeah, I think we've got a nice rotation of guys. And even if they all play the same amount of snaps, you know, like...
Just keep them fresh. Rotate them in there. Jalen Holmes,
Jaleel Johnson. Offensive line, like, they don't rotate. So those guys will get tired. Yeah. Fresh legs on defense. Mm-hmm. Like I said, four guys each play 25% of snaps. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, and maybe one of them pops and he becomes a good player. You know, maybe it is Jalen Holmes that was... Maybe a little bit of buzz already about him. Like you said people on there keep an eye on him. And then Armin Watts, I think, definitely has like the raw tools. Might not be this year, but I like the
could
pick
be
a lot.
Could be a solid pass rusher. Yeah. Could be that third down guy, or even this year, you know, long yarded situations, you know, mm-hmm. where you've got maybe Holmes and Watts on the field at the same time, just trying to get pressure up the middle.
Yeah. And Jaleel Johnson was a third round pick, or was he an early fourth? Second or third pick of the fourth.
Yeah.
So he's got some talent. I just wonder if he's a little more nose than he is. But just start mixing him in there. I don't even care.
Yeah.
You know? Keep him fresh. And
yeah, even if it's on first
big
down.
Guys, I don't care.
I was going to say, first down, you got two big guys in there. Yeah. I'm not upset
Shamar
about it.
And Linval, or just, and then, you know, if it is a, like we talked about a little, if it is third and long, maybe you kick Everson inside, or Daniil, who, I don't really care. And Stephen Weatherly, who deserves to play some, even when everyone's healthy. He's a good player. And you rotate him in. So
yeah, we've talked about a lot. We'd like to see someone play that like Robeson role where he's standing up, you mm-hmm. know.
The little stands up right behind the DT spot and kind of just
even or maybe it's Barr and you've got Curse on the field with Mac and
Zimmer said he wants to try some new stuff. He wants to be a little more unpredictable, you know, because we basically have a great defense, but everyone knows what we're gonna do. Besides on third down, although they do know Zimmer's bringing some crazy blitz. Like, they know it's coming. They just don't know where it's coming from. Yep. So I think he wants to try some different scheme stuff and see if he can cause more turnovers. Because, again, we don't cause turnovers for some odd reason. We just play good.
You'll see a little bit of it in preseason, maybe like two or three times, just to be see how it works.
Put a little something on tape for him.
Yep, and then he'll completely scrap that and bring in
something. Well, who's our opponent week one?
It's not the Falcons.
Sounds right.
Falcons.
So Matt Ryan, knock him around a little bit.
Yeah, I think it is the Falcons.
Home game. We haven't really talked much about the schedule, but we'll save that for a later one. We'll do our little wins, losses. God, Eddie Lacy.
He was dominant this postseason run.
Yeah, he
this was like was a this his rookie year or the second year? It doesn't matter.
Second year, maybe. I just remember he was a free agent the same year Latavius Murray was. I wanted Lacy.
I did
and then
too.
I remember we signed Murray, and I was like, okay, cool. And I just remember, I think it was Evan Silva just ripping the signing. Like, why would you ever sign him? Like, you can get those backs in the draft dime a dozen. And it's like, okay. Like, if a team has cap space, it's like, he was good enough that he got another contract now. The Saints just paid him again. Like, so, you know. But, you know, Evan Silva also ripped the Madison pick, so fuck him.
He's the worst. Falcons week one.
Falcons week one, okay.
Packers week two.
I think we could rattle the old Falcons pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Bring some exotic stuff.
I'm not too worried about the Falcons.
I like the home opener, like being at home. I think that's big. Yep. So overall,
nice noon game.
Yeah, oh yeah, something. Yeah, nothing crazy. Although we do have a lot of national games.
We do.
But you know what? Like, I kind of like it because it's like you don't make it to a Super Bowl without going to some national TV games. So like, you keep fucking throwing them at Cousins. Tell them to figure that shit out.
Yeah. And you know, I think Cousins not performing under pressure is just a myth. You know, it's a myth. You know, it's just you know those teams are good. You know?
Yeah, he just played some tough teams. We did talk about that. He did play. We had a very difficult schedule last year. Like looking at our losses, it's like, oh, playoff team. It's like, fuck.
Yeah. I mean, you beat the Bills, you fucking make the playoffs, though.
Dan Carlson hits a field goal, you make the playoffs.
Yeah, good.
But then you get rolled by the Bears, probably, because they were just so much like, they were like,
they
might not talent-wise be like better, but like they were like a better team last year, which is like when we were 13-3 with Keenan, we were like, like everything came together, you know.
Like, they gelled. Like they they believed in each other.
Yeah,
they
knew, like, when the ball gets rolling, like it just all of a sudden it gets like just starts rolling downhill. And I saw a stat that they had the best injury luck of any team.
Oh, I believe it. It seemed like everyone was healthy except like Amos.
Yeah.
Or Eddie Jackson, just like
a couple games here and there. Yeah. So, anyways, back down.
And they don't have Bryce Callahan anymore, who might be the best nickelback in the league.
Yeah, where did he go?
Denver with Fangio.
Oh, he followed him.
Yep.
All right, back
glad
to
get him out of the division.
Yeah, fuck him. D-line regressed. Have to say it.
Yep.
I'd say it's just Lou Schulderson and regressed. You know,
and,
what are
you
gonna do?
You know, and Griffin and Joseph are both a year older, which doesn't help anymore.
Certainly doesn't help. Yeah, you're not like counting on the young guy to get better. I do think Griffin could have a better season than last year, though.
Yeah,
like,
this
season was a mess last year.
And 2 years ago, he was
a monster.
Like, people are talking defensive player of the year, and then he got plantar fasciitis.
Uh-huh. And that's another one where people just are like, Joel, just cut him. We need the cap space. Okay, 2 years ago, he was our best defensive player.
Yeah.
Like, that's who I watched every play, because he was the guy. And when he got plantar fasciitis, our defense struggled, because
he was the guy getting all the pressure. He was getting a sack a game up until that point.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, you don't just start cutting players to cut players, like, just for cap.
Yeah, oh, so it's like, you're gonna cut him and you're counting on Weatherly, but what if Weatherly's only really good because he barely plays?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Like, I don't think that, but that could definitely be a thing.
And what if you now have no depth? So if Weatherly gets hurt or Hunter gets hurt, now Tayshaun Bower's coming in, or I don't even know who the hell else is there. So, defense as a whole, I guess
we got worse.
I guess like yeah, but it's like so slight. Yeah, it's like you lost one starter, and what did you add on defense? Cameron Smith, Armin Watts, Shamar Stephen.
Yeah, not much. You got worse talent wise, I guess. Like starter wise.
Starter wise, you've gone back a tiny bit because you lost Sheldon Richardson. I mean,
maybe as a
crew. As a whole, you added some depth. You added pieces. I mean, lost Sendejo depth.
Yeah, I mean, I guess talent-wise, just in general, you have to say we regressed.
Yeah.
It's not like a big drop-off.
Yeah,
but
which seems like most of our spots were regressed. It's like, oh, yeah, we lost a little bit. It's not like you went and lost.
But for the most part, they were just kind of role players because, you know, like three tech, like we've said, we had Tom Johnson when we were 13.
But you know what's interesting is he's still available. Like, I wonder if he wouldn't take a minimum veteran contract.
We probably don't have a minimum veteran contract to give him, though.
Yeah, maybe not. Well, make Kirk Cousins restructure. He's the one clogging up our cap, you know, bastard. Yeah,
that was a sweet pick by Sherman. I do not remember that. Just runs the
Sherman
runs the go route and steals the ball from the dude, from Devontae Adams.
Sheesh.
Cool.
Sherman. So overall, better team, worse team, Vikings?
Better team. We're better. We got a lot better on offense.
Again, going into the offseason, people were like, there's no way they can be better because they're going to lose one of Richardson or Barr, and they can't really sign anyone. But it's like, you got your draft class where you added an offensive lineman. You got Josh Klein. That was our biggest problem right there. Yeah. You added a tight end who's a playmaker, we're thinking, second round. Yeah. So, yeah, I would think this is a better roster than last year.
I think it's a better roster and then than 13-3.
Tossed in the scheme thing, offensive scheme change that should hopefully fit our talent.
Which, I mean, we're better than 13-3. We've got the same scheme, you know, the West Coast with Shermer and everything. Maybe not complete the same, but
might be a little more zone scheme kind of stuff.
Yeah, and then you've got Cousins over Keenum.
Yeah.
I think this team is better than – I think it's the best team we've had in the last 5 years.
What was the offensive line that year?
That year it was Reef and Remmers at tackle.
Elflein is a rookie. Was a Joe Berger, right guard.
Berger and Fusco or Berger and Fusco. Easton?
Easton. Yep, it would have been Easton.
Yep. And remember, then we had Jake Long for a little bit there.
No, that was the year before Bradford.
Oh, that was Bradford.
That was Bradford's year. But Easton ended up getting hurt. No, Elflein broke his leg, and Easton got hurt, I thought.
Elflein broke his leg in Philly, I thought.
Yeah, so Easton got hurt, and that's why Remmers had to move inside,
yep.
And then that's why Rashad Hill had to play.
Yep.
Better offensive starters? Yes, or?
I think our...
So Reef versus Reef, I would say, though, he's gotten worse.
Yep, I think 13 Reef...
What is the year?
13-3 Reef is better than this year, Reef.
What is that year?
17.
17 Vikings? I gotta remember that. Because it's like 09.
Yeah,
98.
17.
That year just doesn't hurt 17, me as much.
18, because last year would be 18, 19.
Yeah. So Reef, then better than now. Left guard was Easton versus
Elflein.
Elflein, I'd say it's even.
Yeah.
I mean.
Bradberry versus Elflein. I'm taking Bradberry.
Especially rookie. I mean, rookie Elflein was the best Elflein, but it still wasn't amazing.
I'm taking rookie Bradberry over rookie
Absolutely. Elflein. Right guard Klein or Fusco. Berger.
Oh, Berger.
Berger was pretty good, though.
Yeah.
So
it depends.
I'm going to give that one to Berger right now because I don't really know Klein.
Yeah, but because I know Berger was
Berger really was good. Always good. Always good with us. Yep. And then right tackle, Remmers O'Neal.
Remmers was really
Remmers
good that
was
year.
Solid. It things was came together tackle. That year, man. That was a pretty solid line. But this line could easily be just as good.
Yep.
And you're looking at
better.
Yeah.
Or better.
Say it's just the same.
Yeah.
You have Dalvin Cook, who was hurt that year. You have Kirk Cousins, who's way better than Keenum. You still have both the same receivers.
Who are probably better now than they were then.
I would say, yeah. You have Rudolph still.
Yep.
Now you have Irv Smith. That offense is better. 100% better.
That offense is better.
Defensively, it's the exact same players, except you now have Mike Hughes, you have Mac Alexander, and you...
Jayron Kearse.
And don't have Tom Johnson.
Yeah, and who knows, maybe Jalen Holmes or somebody or the collective group is better than Tom Johnson was that
year. Yeah. And maybe we sign Tom Johnson. And then you don't
Dan
have...
Dan Bailey over Forbath?
I give that one a wash. Bailey kind of disappointed me last year.
He did. Forbath
was fine that year.
Forbath banged that 53-yarder against New Orleans.
You don't have Brian Robeson.
Nope.
You don't have Terrence Newman.
Nope.
And I think our corners are better, though, than they were then.
Yeah.
So this team, talent-wise, I think is, like you said, better than the 13-3 team. Definitely better than last year. Let's go win some fucking games.
Yeah, let's go take the division. Let's go take the conference.
Yeah.
Bring a title. Let's win a World Series and win a Super Bowl. Let's become the new Boston.
We are the new Boston.
They haven't
Timberwolves aren't ever going to win anything, though.
They haven't gone 36 months without a title since 2001.
Boston?
Yeah.
Since 2001?
They haven't gone 36 months.
And we've gone, what, 20... How many years since 91?
28 years. Yeah. Yeah,
they got all those highlights on YouTube now. I've been watching them.
Yeah,
they're just glorious. They're just fantastic.
I missed the little VHS.
Yeah, I think that's. I think you can find that on YouTube. I think that exact little documentary.
Oh,
on
that'd
there.
Be great.
Yeah.
I want to watch that.
Any other last things to talk about with the Vikes? What's coming up?
OTAs are coming up, aren't they?
I think so.
I think that's first week in June.
Yeah, which is whatever.
So there's really nothing. They had rookie camp already.
Yeah, rookie camps. I think we signed two guys that were tryout guys.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I
don't know what we're going to talk about. It's kind of the dead time until we get to... So we started this podcast last year, like, I think the very last day of July.
Yeah, it was like right before training camp. It was the day before training camp started.
Which was the perfect time because we kind of did a little 53-man guess. We did a...
Yep.
So I don't know. Maybe we could we'll find stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
And before we end, you kind of mentioned the Twins. That's quite a ball club. They might need to really talk about little Twins every now and then.
They are the first team ever to have five plus home run games in their first 45 games. They're the first team ever to do that, and their six best bullpen arms have a collective 1.73 ERA, and the Twins are, what did I see, 24-1 when leading after the sixth inning.
Which is crazy because I didn't think our bullpen was very good.
No.
Going into the season, that was like our big thing.
Did you read that article I sent you about the Twins pitching
with their, Sports Illustrated? Some of it. I don't know if I read the whole thing. You make me want to read things, Ryan. You know, you send me things. You know, I like picture articles.
No, but it had a lot of good stuff about, like, it's like our spin rate and everything's the same. And like all these analytics stuff. Are kind of the same, but we're just attacking the strike zone more.
Well, it made me think about, because, like, you know, back before it was always, you know, take pitches, work the count, the Joe Mauer approach.
Yeah.
And now what we're doing is it's like, just swing at the first pitch because it's probably one of your best pitches.
Yeah.
Swing at the strikes. Don't take them to work the count. And we're just hitting home runs. Like, everyone in our lineup can hit home runs. We're no longer the piranhas. We're not just getting on base and trying to, you know,
chop away at
you. Yeah, like steal a bag or do stuff. Like, everyone gets up there and can hit a home run. It's so just so different than it used to be. Like,
yeah,
with our old scheme, or not scheme, but like old regime and those guys. Like, and then like
it's new baseball.
Yeah,
you know?
it's
fun. Like I just can't wait till we start pimping everything. You know, bat flips for games.
But then like they're talking about like Martin Perez adds a cutter and now he's so good now.
It's
like, we get this random. They teach him a new pitch and he's good. Odorizzi's way better now.
Using his curveball more than he ever has in his
career. It's quality stuff.
And Berrios, like, he's always good.
Yeah. And it does make me think, what if Joe Mauer did have a totally different approach and just decided to swing at the first pitch all the time?
All those first pitch fastballs up the
middle. That everyone always gave him shit for.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wonder.
If he just swung away.
I mean, what if maybe he hits 370?
Yeah, like,
because he was a fastball machine. You give him a fastball,
and they're just like, and like, you clearly they had scouted him where it's like he's not gonna swing, so just pump him down the middle.
Yep. It's like, Joe, let's think about this real quick. You're getting a first pitch fastball literally every single time. Fastball or changeup, you know?
Yeah.
And swing. You just watch them.
And our guys now, they're just swinging. Boxing grand slam last night. He looks like he's turned a corner. Already the best center fielder defensively, and now he's hitting better than most center fielders.
Yeah, he's so good, and I can't wait. Like, and Sano's back. So
yeah, hit a home run yesterday.
Oh, did he? Yep. Okay, nice.
I mean, half the team homered yesterday. We went 18-4.
Yeah,
I see. CJ Cron hit two yesterday. This guy hits 30 home runs last year. The Angels put him on waivers.
The Rays put him on
waivers. Oh, was it the Rays?
Yeah.
So, well, we pick him up. 12. He's got 12 bombs, betting 270. I mean,
it's wild. And, well, yeah, the Rays put him on waivers, and Rocco was down there like, wait a second. You should come here.
Yeah, he hit two home runs yesterday. Jonathan Scope hit two home runs. Boxton hit a home run. Sano hit a home run.
And, like, I wasn't huge on this Cron signing at first.
I just thought it was like, oh, it's like another guy that can rotate in and hit a couple bombs.
I was, like, fearing Logan Morrison all
the time. Oh, yeah. Again. Yeah, we dealt
look
with
at that.
That.
They're throwing him. Pitches belt down
high,
the middle.
Belt high, five home runs.
God.
So, yeah, Twins are sweet. Maybe we'll talk about them a little more.
Yeah, we Wolves went to the doubleheader garbage. Last weekend. That was fun. Yeah. That was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Good baseball.
Went 1-1, right? We lost the first game, I think.
Yeah, we did.
I feel like
they
that's the last
two,
time
they
we
hit
lost.
Two home runs in the ninth inning.
Oh, that's
the
right.
The Tigers did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no. Go down to Target Field. Support your ball club. That would be good.
They did the flash sale. We got $5 tickets.
Yeah, that was sweet. We should have bought like a bunch of tickets.
Yeah, just keep buying them. $5. Walk down there. Oh, it's fantastic. So we'll be back in, I don't know, a couple weeks.
Yeah, well, yeah.
When something happens, I feel like a Rudolph thing will happen. We'll
put some material together for you.
Yeah,
guys.
We'll find something.
We know you're walking around work going, when's the next?
We need some Viking talk. You know what's going on out there. And so all right.
Oh, and there it is. He doesn't just hit dingers. His infield base hits.
Lost his helmet. He's like holding it. Jeez.
All right, but right on. We'll catch you guys in a couple weeks.